My goodness, it is 9:07 here at WCCO, and I'm so excited for my first guest tonight for Center Stage. Of course, you've probably heard of him. He has he's been called the Pavarotti of Gospel here in the Twin Cities, and has been performing since the age of 6 and directing choir since the age of 15. And he's currently serving as the artist in residence at First Covenant Church in Minneapolis. And for 20 years, Robert was the executive director of the Twin Cities Community Choir, Community Gospel Choir. In fact, they call themselves the TCC Gospel Choir, love them, and ensemble. And over the years, Robert has become a noted clinician, giving master classes across the United States. I did not know that. And every time I read something about Robert Robinson, I always learn something new about him. And he is joining us right now, right here at WCCO Radio. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. Very good. How about yourself?
It's great to hear your voice. I'm doing fine. As soon as I see your picture and I hear your voice, I reminisce on the time that you and I sang Porgy and Bess songs with the Minnesota Orchestra.
How could we forget that, huh?
How could we forget it? Oh, my gosh, I kissed you on the cheek. I can't remember what song it was. And your eyes tell a whole nother story. It talks for you, right? It talks before you walk in the room. And I will never forget your eyes on that. I said, uh-oh, I messed up, didn't I, kissing him on his cheek?
No. I just wasn't expecting it, that's all.
We had a good time. The thing about you is that you keep going, no matter what you are dealing with, whether it's personal, whether it's health, wellness, you name it, you just keep going. There's that song from one play that says, they keep coming. You keep coming, no matter what. Now, there have been times when you stop for a moment, but then you're right back. And I'm so grateful that you're still singing, that you're still moving up and forward, because we need you. Do you feel as though Minnesota needs you? Are you ready to, like, run from Minnesota? Or, 'cause this is home base, you know?
This is, and I kind of feel like I was meant to be here. And sometimes there are lots of things going on all over the world, but you've got to learn how to bloom where you're planted. And so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to bloom where I'm at and be everything that I'm supposed to be, and exhaust everything that I've been blessed with. I want to try to give it back to others in some way or another. So, yeah, I'm kind of set on that. I keep telling myself that I'm going to leave Minnesota, but I still haven't gone anywhere yet.
Yeah, but you know what? It will come, because that's something you've really been aiming at. Now, you have traveled and performed in different places, you know, and I want to know if there's some place, even in the great state of Minnesota or whichever one you want to mention, where you have not done what you had, you know, you hoped you would do in that space, whether it's an auditorium or a church. Tell me if there's one that you really are looking forward to finally planting your feet there.
In terms of, like, just maybe going there to do a program of some kind? To be honest, I've been a lot of places. And if I had to pick some place, I would love to go to either, and I know this kind of sounds crazy, but I've never been to Canada, so I would love to do something in Canada somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I have never been to England. I've never been to Britain, Great Britain. So I'd love to do something in England at some point in my life. Those are a couple of places that I've always loved to go to. I'd love to go to Africa too, but I'd have to I'd have to prepare for about a year to go go to Africa.
Right. Yeah, Javita and I were going to try to go this month, and we had some challenges with planes and all sorts of things, but we're going to do it. We're going to make sure that we do it. So as you're moving forward and you're constantly singing and delivering the gift, you are delivering your gift every time. I have never found a person whom I asked, hey, have you ever heard of Robert Robinson? Everyone says, oh, yeah, are you kidding? Who hasn't heard of Robert Robinson, right? And you attack all types of music, right, the genres. You sing gospel, you sing opera, you sing so much. Is there a genre that you have not connected with just yet that you'd like to?
Wow.
Come on, Robert. Come on now.
In my mind, I really don't know if I could ever do anything as it pertains to rap. Oh. I've sung some songs. I've done like some vocal improvisational things around rap artists and spoken word people, but I don't know if I've ever been, I've never done anything as it pertains to rap. And if I did, I'm not even sure what I would do. But that's a genre that I've never touched. I've done some country stuff. I've done R&B. I've even attempted some hip hop.
Classical. Yeah. You do some hip hop. I'll pay you to start singing a little bit.
No, don't do it.
You're not gonna do it.
Not tonight.
Well, you've got a big show coming up, and I know that you have been at this. I think you've been a part of this series before, haven't you?
I have. It's been several years, but I have been a part of that music series. Yes.
It's called the Bethlehem Music Series, and it continues its 41st concert season with a performance by acclaimed Minnesota gospel soul singer Robert Robinson on Sunday, November 13th at 4 p.m. at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in South Minneapolis. And I will mention that again. Okay, what can we expect from the concert that you call the Robert Robinson and Friends Concert?
Well, I think this concert is going to be a little eclectic as well. I'm going to be redoing some classical stuff, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be doing some gospel, of course, and some what I call inspirational music. I don't necessarily call it pop or anything like that. Sometimes it was meant or created in the pop genre. But I feel like sometimes the messages are so inspiring that it leaves the pop genre, and it's bigger than that in my mind. But I do songs that I would consider to be inspirational that, you know, are also part of the pop genre. So, yeah, I'm going to do a little bit of all of that. And I got my backup singers coming with me, which
yes,
I've always loved to do. And I've got a full band with me that day, so it should be a lot of fun.
It's always a lot of fun. I know it's going to be a lot of fun. I do want to mention there is a pre-concert conversation with you starting at 3:30 p.m., and the concert, of course, is free and open to the public, but there's a conversation that's going to happen. What are you going to talk about?
You know, I think that is not going to be determined by me. I think I get to do all the answers, and other people are going to get to ask all the questions, and I have no idea what they're going to ask me, but since it is my life, hopefully I'll have some answers for them as to whatever they want to know.
Okay, so if I was the audience, I would ask you things like, so how old are you? What would you say?
Old.
See?
old with a capital O. You know, it's funny because now I talk to some of the younger gospel people and they call me the legend, and I'm like wait a minute, I ain't that old.
That's what happened to the Steels the first time. I think we were in New York doing gospel at Colonna's, and someone said, the legends. It's like, whoa.
Exactly. Can we pull that back a little bit?
A little bit. A little bit. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I got to be a legend, y'all. Can't I just be a worker in the vineyard or something?
But people tell me, hey, you should be honored to be a legend. You know, I just look at my numbers of how old I am, and I don't see legend in there, but maybe JD. Maybe I'll call him a legend.
Yeah, maybe they're just talking about JD. They're not considering you guys. That's all. Just him.
Well, there you go.
I don't know. I just, you know, that I just don't see myself that way. But then again, I think who really does? You just, if you're doing something that you love to do and enjoy doing, it doesn't feel painful or like forced or anything. You're just flowing into the individual that you were created to be. And so I like that. So I'm going to stick with it.
Well, it's called the Bethlehem Music Series, and it's continuing its 41st concert season with a performance by the acclaimed Minnesota gospel soul singer that I'm speaking with tonight, Robert Robinson. And this is on Sunday, November 13th at 4 p.m. Now, this is happening at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in South Minneapolis. It's easy to find. Just look it up. And, of course, the Robert Robinson and Friends concert will proceed with will be preceded by a pre-concert conversation. Don't miss that. He has a lot. He's quite loquacious. And I think you're going to learn a lot about him and what he's doing. It has been a pleasure being on with you tonight. Do you have a new album to share with people?
Actually, yes. I just released it yesterday.
Oh, hey, now.
It's an album about the Mississippi River, and you and I will have to do a conversation at some point about this. But I just released it yesterday, and all of the music on this was written by myself or Tim Francis. There's a couple of other pieces that are written by other Minnesota artists as well, but Tim and I wrote most of the music as we traveled down the Mississippi River, and and we created this project. So the feel of it has, you know, my flair of gospel in it all over, but the message is about the river and how it speaks to our lives and flows through and in and around us, and sometimes we're just not aware. But anyway,
I don't know if you've ever heard David Hurst, the album he did about the Mississippi River, and the band was smoking, the producers were, it was just fantastic. So I cannot wait to hear this. Will you be selling it at the event on November 13th?
I definitely will have copies for everyone who wants to buy.
Oh, there you go. It's a pleasure having you on tonight, Robert. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Geraldine.
Take care of you. All right.
Yeah. Bye-bye now.
Bye. It is so exciting, of course, when I do Center Stage. I just love it to meet some of the artists I've never met and then to reconnect with those that I absolutely love. Coming up next is Tatiana Marie Carlo, director of the CTC's Carmela Full of Wishes. That is coming up next. I'm excited to meet someone that I have never had on the show as far as I can remember, and I'm excited to meet her now. Tatiana Marie Carlo is her name, director of CTC's or Children's Theater, Carmela Full of Wishes. And I am very curious about how she got involved as a director and so much more. She is Puerto Rican and grew up in Miami. She was the first Latine graduate of the Brown University MFA program in directing. You go with that, Tatiana. That's amazing. Seriously, I was so proud to read that. And of course, your greatest passion is in bilingual theater because of its potential for both increasing theater's cultural impact and facilitating human connection. Tell me more about that statement.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It is my first time with you, and I'm so excited. But bilingual theater for me is such a passion. I look at my grandmother, who has since passed, but my grandmother didn't speak any English. And because assimilation used to mean survival, many of my cousins, younger cousins, don't speak Spanish. And sometimes I would have her come and see my plays, and she would look at things and be like, wow, he was really handsome, or wow, the costumes looked really great. But she didn't understand what was happening, and I wanted a way for generations of families to be able to enjoy a piece of theater. And for me, in bilingual theater, my 90-year-old grandmother at the time could watch a play, and my 15-year-old cousins could also watch the same play and enjoy theater together.
That's amazing. You talk about how some people think that the theater could be limiting for you, but you say, hey, why? Someone asked you, why would you want to put yourself in a box? And you said, but there are 21 Spanish speaking countries outside of Spain. I am building my own box. And let me tell you, my hands went up in the air. I was like, you go. Okay. Just go, because this is so important to hear this for, you know, every ear that can hear it tonight. That line really hit me. So thank you for putting that in here, that you're building your own box. Tell me how you're doing that.
I think censoring Latina stories, growing up the first time outside of something like West Side Story, right, that didn't historically always have Latina people involved, right?
Right.
The first musical or play that I saw that had Latina people, and this is me growing up in Miami, was In the Heights, right? And In the Heights was revolutionary for me because it was the first time where I saw not only Latinas on stage, but like Latina joy on stage. And it wasn't something that was like sad or devastating or necessarily a story about immigration that I feel like is where it leans towards when we're talking about Latina stories. And for me, that's what I want to do. I want to talk about all sides of Latinidad. And yes, immigration can be part of it, like in Carmela Full of Wishes. But then also there's dreams and hopes and so many beautiful aspects of Latinidad. And it's so vast, right? I tell people, I say, guess what? We don't all eat the same food. And they're like, what? I'm like, I promise you, we don't all eat the same food, even though we all speak Spanish and we all speak different dialects of Spanish. And we're all so incredibly different. And that's what I want the world to see and know, is that Latinidad is vast and broad and encapsulates a lot of people and a lot of varying identities.
I've seen so many movies that have been wonderful, especially children's movies like Encanto. I mean, just love that movie. Just love it. I've watched it with my grandchildren so many times, it's disturbing. Okay, so Carmela Full of Wishes, tell us about the show and tell us what the directing of this, who created it, and how did you become the director of this? Did they come looking for you?
Yes and no. It's from a children's book by Matt de la Peña and illustrated by Christian Robinson. And that children's book was then adapted by a playwright named Alvaro Saar Rios. And he, their original production was in Chicago, but in the conversations I had brief conversations with Peter Brosius, the artistic director of children's theater, and he is so passionate about this play and about children's theater. And in our conversations, we were talking about other things. And he's like, have you read Carmela Full of Wishes? And I was like, no, I had seen the cover of the book, but I had never read it because I don't know why. I wasn't looking for children's books at the time. And right. I read it and I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And then I read Alvaro's adaptation of it. And I'm like, this is so fun. We get to do a play that's about wishing and about dreams and about hopes and really lean into the joy of this family, even though they're going through a tough time. So I love the story. And when Peter asked me to do it, I was elated because I love the story so much and the book and the play all together.
Well, I tell you, when you have this opportunity, I'm just really excited. I'm going to really try hard to get there. So tell me, when does this, is it open now?
Yes, it's open now, and I believe it runs until December 4th.
Till December 4th. I'm going to write that down. And of course, if people want more information, they can go to the children's theater dot, oh, Geraldine, get it right. Children's theater company. No, children's theater.org, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, childrenstheater.org. So as you move past this, once this is, I know it's going to be just a huge success at the end even. I'm just curious to know what's next for you.
What's next for me? I'm doing a world premiere play by the playwright Jacqueline E. Lawton at Trinity Rep in Providence, Rhode Island.
Oh,
So, and then I'm also, and that one is really, really cool as well. And it's fun to work on a world premiere, like never done before anywhere else. And then after that, I'll be in St. Petersburg, Florida, working on a play called La Gringa. And that play will be completely bilingual, which is really, and it's a play by Carmen Rivera. It's really where my wheelhouse lives, in truly bilingual plays. Yeah, is what I love to do.
You are climbing the mountain. Are you almost at the top?
No, not yet. definitely on the climb. And really, I think just like holding true to what it is that I love to do and reminding myself that this is what I love to do, and working on Latina plays and holding true to that. I think, you know, I'm working on it. We're working on it. We get into Broadway.
Yeah, exactly. Tatiana Marie Carlo, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And if people want more information, just go to childrenstheater.org. All right, we're going to take a break. You take care of yourself, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Oh, she was delightful. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone, to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. There's so much going on around our great state, and I tell you, I'm thrilled to be able to announce some of them. Gremlin Theater opens The Boys' Room. That's the name of the show, The Boys' Room. And, of course, there are two of the actors that are joining us tonight, and I am so excited about it. This is starting November 4th through the 27th, so it is now open. It's touching and funny, they say, and it's quite a remarkable listener and viewer of life around him. And this is from Chicago, out of Chicago, that they were talking about this. So joining me right now is Linda Kelsey. She's playing the role of Susan, and Lucy Farrell playing the role of Roanne. Welcome to both of you. Hi, Linda. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, Geraldine.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Now, forgive me for not... Oh, I'm so glad that you're joining us tonight. Of course, The Boys' Room. You know, I want to know everything. So why don't you jump in, Lucy, and tell me how this all came to be and what it's about.
Lucy?
For sure. So The Boys' Room is a kind of funny but tragic play about this man who comes home to stay with his mom after getting some pretty bad news from his wife. And he's trying to decide whether to leave his current life, which also includes his daughter, who I play. And we've been rehearsing for, I want to say, about 3 weeks. And we just had our opening weekend. And, yeah, it's been really exciting. It's been a great process.
Linda, I was confused when I first started reading this about the two brothers that race each other back to their boyhood bedroom. I mean, I got stuck right there. So help me get unstuck. What is that all about in the piece?
Well, you know, I think in the pandemic this happened a lot. We had intergenerational living that nobody really expected would happen. And and in this play, I play the mother and the grandmother of the role that Lucy plays. Her two grown sons, because of circumstances they can't seem to be handling in their own personal lives, decided it would be better to be back in their childhood bedroom with their mother. And it sounds like a comedy, and in a way it really is, but then it really deals with the messiness of family and how hard it is to love each other when we drive each other crazy at the same time.
Isn't that the truth?
And you real know, problems you got, that people face, too. Excuse me, Geraldine, but you know, it's about real stuff, real hard stuff that people face in life.
It is really hard stuff. And it also says in the press release that life has a way of catching up. And two of the women, I'm assuming those are the two of you, in their lives have dreams as well. And I'm curious to know, that must be a tender part of the piece. Am I correct?
Oh, it certainly is. It's a lovely relationship between a grandmother and her granddaughter. I myself am a grandmother, so I really feel close to this part. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Lucy?
Yeah, I think there's a real heart in their relationship, and you kind of see a different side of both of these characters when they're together versus when they're with the other two men in the play.
Yeah.
When I mentioned November 4th you guys opened, I'm just curious to know, what did the audience say? How did they feel about it? What have you guys been hearing?
Oh, they seem to love it a lot. The play takes them on quite a journey. And by the end of it, everybody can relate to all one or all of the characters in the play very deeply, and to people they know in their own personal lives, or maybe things that they deal with in their own personal lives. And it's quite a profound play, actually.
Well, you know, it sounds like what families are going through, not just because of COVID, but just because of life. And, you know, in mm-hmm. itself, just life. And, of course, now that COVID is starting to, we're starting to feel pretty good about getting out and that sort of thing. But these are issues for no matter whether there's a pandemic or not. These are issues that have been written about in books, television shows, and that sort of thing. The big question for me is, how does this group of actors, Tim, Susan, and Roanne, how do you bring together this story where people really understand the differences between the men and the women, but who's most important? Where is your place? Do the men respect the women? Do the women respect the men in the piece?
Wow, what a question,
Geraldine. Yeah.
Ooh. Go for it, Lucy.
I think it's complicated, definitely. I think the main thing that brings them all together is that they're human, which I think the play is really about. And what makes us human is that we make mistakes. And I think they do have respect for the women in their life. I think there's just that line between how you treat family as well and where the respect comes and the disrespect comes.
Right. Yeah. Well, once again, yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Jalen, please.
Well, you know, the thing for me is that we always have the women, especially if they're siblings, right? If you've got two women in a family, they're going to, you know, challenge the boys if there are two boys in the family or even one boy in the family. And that give and take can oftentimes turn into something very beautiful later on in life. However, how old are the women and how old are the men in this piece? Their characters.
These are middle-aged men. These are middle-aged men with families.
Oh, then, and heck, forget about it, honey. There's no way you can straighten that out.
Well, I appreciate that, but it's a fact. And the woman I play is a widow of many years. The boys were quite young when their father died. She's dealing with all her stuff, too, and the last thing she expected in life at this age was to have her kids move back home. And so, you know, she's got a lot of stuff going on that she's dealing with, too.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, congratulations on opening this piece. If people want more information, where do they go?
Oh, GremlinTheater.com. Also, can I just put in a plug for the two wonderful actors who play?
Yeah, I just read about them. Yes, I think his Ron is by Dan Hopman and Tim is by Peter Christian Hansen, right?
Yeah, and they're just both incredible in this, I have to say. They're beautiful actors, and it's just a joy to work with them. We're quite a little bit of all of us, yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll join us the next time and I get a chance to hear them talk about y'all. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Carolyn. Always
take care. This runs, now I just want to ask too, it runs until November 27th, correct?
Yes.
All right, November 27th.
Not Thanksgiving, but the Thanksgiving weekend, the other days.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, take care, you guys. Thank you so much. Again, the name of the show is called The Boys' Room, The Boys' Room. And all you have to do is go to Gremlin Theater with a T-R-E at the end, .com. All right, we'll be back. Welcome back to Center Stage. All things arts and entertainment, we believe that you ought to know about it. We are trying to introduce it to so many of you that listen, and I really appreciate you sticking and staying and coming out to see a lot of the plays and art shows and so much more. Our final discussion tonight when it comes to Center Stage is Emma Bauer. She's joining us as Director of External Relations at Hennepin Theater Trust, and we are talking about Hairspray and Les Mis. Welcome, Emma. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you so much.
You know, two of the most famous, those that have been still showing up in theaters all over the world, over and over and over again. I'm curious to know, why is it that Hairspray and Les Mis are at the top?
Oh, gosh. They are just two great productions. Les Mis has been seen by over 130 million people around the globe in 53 different countries. Hairspray is on its 20th anniversary. I mean, I think, you know, I think with Les Mis, especially with coming out of the pandemic, you know, and all of the hardships that we endured with COVID-19, you know, Les Mis is a story about the survival of the human spirit. And these are the stories that remind us that there is hope and there is triumph and there is love to be found even in the darkest of times. And we are going to have this show here at Hennepin Theater Trust December 6th through the 18th. So that's a two-week run that we'll have Les Miserables, and it's a perfect holiday show. You know, if you're looking for a lovely, cozy night at the historic Orpheum Theater, it's the perfect holiday outing for families, couples, friends. And then with Hairspray, that show is just a treat. It's, you know, it's so upbeat. It's so uplifting. It's really like comfort food, right? It's like comfort food at a theater, you know, and it's the swinging 1960s, and it tells the story of Tracy Turnblad And she's just your lovable all-American girl, and she's got huge hair, huge dreams, and it's just about her pursuing her passion and embracing our differences. So that show, you just walk into the theater, and you know that you're going to have just a good time.
You know, so, I've seen Hairspray a couple of times. Excuse me, Emma. I've seen it a few times. And the thing for me is that you walk out with a smile. You walk out laughing. You walk out smiling at people, meeting and greeting people all over again. You know, you first come in and everyone's just kind of, you know, being very personal with themselves, but not with others. And that's the one thing I love about this piece of Hairspray. It really uplifts you. Les Mis on the other end, for me, it's like I want to cry. I just want to cry, you know. I get in the car and I just want to cry. Putting these two together is quite interesting. How did it come those two were chosen?
Well, you know, this actual production of Les Mis, we're so excited to bring this show to Minnesota, because it stars a Minnesota native. So we are so excited about this production. So her name is Christine Wang. She plays the lead role of Eponine. So when that, you know, came across our desks, we had to say yes. She's a graduate of Minnetonka High School. And she participated in Hennepin Theater Trust's Spotlight Education Program.
I knew it. I knew it was Spotlight. That's awesome.
Yes. So for those who don't know, our Spotlight Education Program is our flagship musical theater education program. It works with over 8,000 students across the state of Minnesota in about 100 high schools all over the state. So Christine went through that program with Hennepin Theater Trust, and now she's on the Broadway stage. So we are so proud of her and so excited to welcome her back to Minneapolis to perform in her hometown. And like I said, it's a nice, cozy, you know, holiday night at the theater. You know, it's about the triumph of the human spirit. So yes, it's an emotional one. You know, it's about.
Welcome back, everyone, to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. There's so much going on around our great state, and I tell you, I'm thrilled to be able to announce some of them. Gremlin Theater opens The Boys' Room. That's the name of the show, The Boys' Room. And, of course, there are two of the actors that are joining us tonight, and I am so excited about it. This is starting November 4th through the 27th, so it is now open. It's touching and funny, they say, and it's quite a remarkable listener and viewer of life around him. And this is from Chicago, that they were talking about this. So joining me right now is Linda Kelsey. She's playing the role of Susan, and Lucy Farrell playing the role of Roanne. Welcome to both of you. Hi, Linda. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, Geraldine.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Now, forgive me for not. Oh, I'm so glad that you're joining us tonight. Of course, The Boys' Room, you know, I want to know everything. So why don't you jump in, Lucy, and tell me how this all came to be and what it's about.
Lucy? For sure. So The Boys' Room is a kind of funny but tragic play about this man who comes home to stay with his mom after getting some pretty bad news from his wife. And he's trying to decide whether to leave his current life, which also includes his daughter, who I play. And we've been rehearsing for, I want to say, about 3 weeks. And we just had our opening weekend. And, yeah, it's been really exciting. It's been a great process.
Linda, I was confused when I first started reading this about the two brothers that race each other back to their boyhood bedroom. I mean, I got stuck right there. So help me get unstuck. What is that all about in the piece?
Well, you know, I think in the pandemic this happened a lot. We had intergenerational living that nobody really expected would happen. And in this play, I play the mother and the grandmother of the role that Lucy plays. Her two grown sons, because of circumstances they can't seem to be handling in their own personal lives, decided it would be better to be back in their childhood bedroom with their mother. And it sounds like a comedy, and in a way it really is, but then it really deals with the messiness of family and how hard it is to love each other when we drive each other crazy at the same time.
Isn't that the truth?
And real problems that people face too. Excuse me, Geraldine, but you know, it's about real stuff, real hard stuff that people face in life.
It is really hard stuff. And it also says in the press release that life has a way of catching up. And two of the women, I'm assuming those are the two of you, in their lives have dreams as well. And I'm curious to know, that must be a tender part of the piece. Am I correct?
Oh, it certainly is. It's a lovely relationship between a grandmother and her granddaughter. I myself am a grandmother, so I really feel close to this part. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Lucy?
Yeah, I think there's a real heart in their relationship, and you kind of see a different side of both of these characters when they're together versus when they're with the other two men in the play.
Yeah.
When I mentioned November 4th, you guys opened, I'm just curious to know, what did the audience say? How did they feel about it? What have you guys been hearing?
Oh, they seem to love it a lot. The play takes them on quite a journey. And by the end of it, everybody can relate to one or all of the characters in the play very deeply, and to people they know in their own personal lives, or maybe things that they deal with in their own personal lives. And it's quite a profound play, actually.
Well, you know, it sounds like what families are going through, not just because of COVID, but just because of life. And, you know, in mm-hmm. itself, just life. And, of course, now that COVID is starting to, we're starting to feel pretty good about getting out and that sort of thing. But these are issues for no matter whether there's a pandemic or not. These are issues that have been written about in books, television shows, and that sort of thing. The big question for me is, how does this group of actors, Tim, Susan, and Roanne, how do you bring together this story where people really understand the differences between the men and the women, but who's most important? Where is your place? Do the men respect the women? Do the women respect the men in the piece?
Wow, what a question,
Geraldine. Yeah.
Ooh. Go for it, Lucy.
I think it's complicated, definitely. I think the main thing that brings them all together is that they're human, which I think the play is really about. And what makes us human is that we make mistakes. And I think they do have respect for the women in their life. I think there's just that line between how you treat family as well and where the respect comes and the disrespect comes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, once again, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Jalen, please.
Well, you know, the thing for me is that we always have the women, especially if they're siblings, right? If you've got two women in a family, they're going to, you know, challenge the boys if there are two boys in the family or even one boy in the family. And that give and take can oftentimes turn into something very beautiful later on in life. However, how old are the women and how old are the men in this piece? Their characters.
Middle-aged men. These are middle-aged men with families.
Oh, then heck, forget about it, honey. There's no way you can straighten that out.
Well, I appreciate that, but it's a fact. And the woman I play is a widow of many years. The boys were quite young when their father died. She's dealing with all her stuff, too, and the last thing she expected in life at this age was to have her kids move back home. And so, you know, she's got a lot of stuff going on that she's dealing with, too.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, congratulations on opening this piece. If people want more information, where do they go?
Oh, gremlintheater.com. Also, can I just put in a plug for the two wonderful actors who play?
Yeah, I just read about them. Yeah, I think Ron is by Dan Hopman and Tim is by Peter Christian Hansen, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're just both incredible in this, I have to say. They're beautiful actors, and it's just a joy to work with them. We're quite a little team, all of us, yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll join us the next time and I get a chance to hear them talk about y'all. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Geraldine. Always
take care. This runs now. I just want to ask too. It runs until November 27th, correct?
Yes.
All right, November 27th.
Not Thanksgiving, but the Thanksgiving weekend, the other days.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, take care, you guys. Thank you so much. Again, the name of the show is called The Boys' Room, The Boys' Room. And all you have to do is go to Gremlin Theater with a T-R-E at the end, .com. All right, we'll be back. Welcome back to Center Stage. All things arts and entertainment, we believe that you ought to know about it. We are trying to introduce it to so many of you that listen, and I really appreciate you sticking and staying and coming out to see a lot of the plays and art shows and so much more. Our final discussion tonight when it comes to Center Stage is Emma Bauer. She's joining us as Director of External Relations at Hennepin Theater Trust, and we are talking about Hairspray and Les Mis. Welcome, Emma. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you so much.
You know, two of the most famous, those that have been still showing up in theaters all over the world, over and over and over again. I'm curious to know, why is it that Hairspray and Les Mis are at the top?
Oh, gosh. They are just two great productions. Les Mis has been seen by over 130 million people around the globe in 53 different countries. Hairspray is on its 20th anniversary. I mean, I think, you know, I think with Les Mis, especially with coming out of the pandemic, you know, and all of the hardships that we endured with COVID-19, you know, Les Mis is a story about the survival of the human spirit. And these are the stories that remind us that there is hope and there is triumph and there is love to be found even in the darkest of times. And we are going to have this show here at Hennepin Theater Trust December 6th through the 18th. So that's a 2-week run that we'll have Les Miserables, and it's a perfect holiday show. You know, if you're looking for a lovely, cozy night at the historic Orpheum Theater, it's the perfect holiday outing for families, couples, friends. And then with Hairspray, that show is just a treat. It's, you know, it's so upbeat. It's so uplifting. It's really like comfort food, right? It's like comfort food at a theater, you know, and it's the swinging 1960s, and it tells the story of Tracy Turnblad, and she's just your lovable all-American girl, and she's got huge hair, huge dreams, and it's just about her pursuing her passion and embracing our differences. So that show, you just walk into the theater and you know that you're going to have just a good time.
You know, I've seen Hairspray a couple of times. Excuse me, Emma. I've seen it a few times. And the thing for me is that you walk out with a smile. You walk out laughing. You walk out smiling at people, meeting and greeting people all over again. You know, you first come in and everyone's just kind of, you know, being very personal with themselves, but not with others. And that's the one thing I love about this piece of Hairspray. It really uplifts you. Les Mis on the other end, for me, it's like I want to cry. I just want to cry, you know. I get in the car and I just want to cry. Putting these two together is quite interesting. How did it come those two were chosen?
Well, you know, this actual production of Les Mis, we're so excited to bring this show to Minnesota, because it stars a Minnesota native. So we are so excited about this production. So her name is Christine Wang. She plays the lead role of Eponine. So when that, you know, came across our desks, we had to say yes. She's a graduate of Minnetonka High School. And she participated in Hennepin Theater Trust's Spotlight Education Program.
I knew it. I knew it was Spotlight. That's awesome.
Yes. So for those who don't know, our Spotlight Education Program is our flagship musical theater education program. It works with over 8,000 students across the state of Minnesota in about 100 high schools all over the state. So Christine went through that program with Hennepin Theater Trust, and now she's on the Broadway stage. So we are so proud of her and so excited to welcome her back to Minneapolis to perform in her hometown. And like I said, it's a nice, cozy, you know, holiday night at the theater. You know, you it's about the triumph of the human spirit. So yes, it's an emotional one. You know, it's about sacrifice, redemption. But at the end of the show, hopefully you'll leave with, you know, feeling some hope and feeling hopefulness and, you know, seeing hope in the next generation of theater students coming out of Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. We have remarkable children that are involved in theater, and they're doing great things. Gosh. They're putting together great pieces, and I've talked about that many times, and I just pray that it never goes away. I hope we just keep having children that want it, that desire it, because it's important. It's one of those things that we're used to having, and sometimes we forget how special it is until we arrive at the theater, and then we realize, oh my gosh. We said it at the same time. So there you go. Congratulations on these two choices. I think Hairspray at $130 million, $130 million viewers. I did not know that at all. That's incredible. Just
I know.
Incredible.
That was Les Mis. Les Mis, 130 million people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, and then and Hairspray was 20th anniversary?
Hairspray, yep. It's their 20th anniversary on Broadway this season.
And this is Geraldine. I get it mixed up. There you go.
That's okay. But yeah, two great shows. And I agree. Our theater students are so talented. They have so much passion. They're so full of life, full of hope. It's just a treat to see them on stage and to see them have so much fun in this art form.
Well, the tickets are on sale. Of course, Hairspray is, I believe, January 10th through the 15th. Do I have that correct?
That's correct. Yep. It's 1 week only, our first show of the new year.
Why?
I don't know. I wish we could have it longer. I wish we could have Hairspray all year. It's such a feel-good show. I'd watch it every single week if I could, but only 1 week for this one, January 10th to the 15th. And like you said, tickets are on sale, HennepinTheaterTrust.org.
There you go. There it is right there. And, of course, give us one more reminder about Les Mis. It opens on the 8th, did you say?
So Les Mis is December 6th through the 18th. It's a two-week run that will have that show.
Okay, that's what I needed. Thank you so much. I get that mixed up, too. So here's the thing. if people want more information and they want to know if this is something for children, would you say Les Mis is for children? Or Hairspray?
You know, it really depends. You know, parents and guardians know their kids the best. Les Mis does deal with some heavier themes, I would say, but it's a beautiful show. And there are some laughs in that show. There's some fun. So I really think, you know, it's all ages. But Hairspray for sure. That one is just bright, bubbly. It's fun. You know, the dancing is incredible. The music is so upbeat. So I would say Hairspray is probably the one that you'll want to send younger kids to. But I do think that Les Mis, you know, is a real family show, too.
Well, look, we'll just keep watching. We'll keep waiting and get those tickets and get in to see it. If people want more information, give that website one more time. HennepinTheaterTrust.org.
Yep, HennepinTheaterTrust.org. And we spell theater with an R-E. So it's Hennepin Theater with an R-E, trust.org.
Emma, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us, and you take care of you.
Thank you so much. You too.
Bye. Oh, man. She's great. Just great. All right, everyone. Coming up next is the Mom and Michael Hour. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. We're going to have a blast. Michael, me, and then this guy named Jonathan. We'll be back. Welcome back to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We believe that you ought to know about it. We are trying to introduce it to so many of you that listen, and I really appreciate you sticking and staying and coming out to see a lot of the plays and art shows and so much more. Our final discussion tonight when it comes to Center Stage is Emma Bauer. She's joining us as Director of External Relations at Hennepin Theater Trust, and we are talking about Hairspray and Les Mis. Welcome, Emma. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you so much.
you know, two of the most famous, those that have been still showing up in theaters all over the world over and over and over again. I'm curious to know, why is it that Hairspray and Les Mis are at the top?
Oh, gosh. They are just two great productions. Les Mis has been seen by over 130 million people around the globe in 53 different countries. Hairspray is on its 20th anniversary. I mean, I think, you know, I think with Les Mis, especially with coming out of the pandemic, you know, and all of the hardships that we endured with COVID-19, you know, Les Mis is a story about the survival of the human spirit. And these are the stories that remind us that there is hope and there is triumph and there is love to be found even in the darkest of times. And we are going to have this show here at Hennepin Theater Trust December 6th through the 18th. So that's a two-week run that we'll have Les Miserables, and it's a perfect holiday show. You know, if you're looking for a lovely, cozy night at the historic Orpheum Theater, it's the perfect holiday outing for families, couples, friends. And then with Hairspray, that show is just a treat. It's, you know, it's so upbeat. It's so uplifting. It's really like comfort food, right? It's like comfort
right.
food at a theater, you know, and it's the swinging 1960s, and it tells the story of Tracy Turnblad, and she's just your lovable all-American girl, and she's got huge hair, huge dreams, and it's just about her pursuing her passion and embracing our differences. So that show, you just walk into the theater and you know that you're going to have just a good time.
You know, so, I've seen Hairspray a couple of times. Excuse me, Emma. I've seen it a few times. And the thing for me is that you walk out with a smile. You walk out laughing. You walk out smiling at people, meeting and greeting people all over again. You know, you first come in and everyone's just kind of, you know, being very personal with themselves, but not with others. And that's the one thing I love about this piece of Hairspray. It really uplifts you. Les Mis on the other end, for me, it's like I want to cry. I just want to cry, you know. I get in the car and I just want to cry. Putting these two together is quite interesting. How did it come those two were chosen?
Well, you know, this actual production of Les Mis, we're so excited to bring this show to Minnesota because it stars a Minnesota native. So we are so excited about this production. So her name is Christine Wang. She plays the lead role of Eponine. So when that, you know, came across our desks, we had to say yes. She's a graduate of Minnetonka High School, and she participated in Hennepin Theater Trust's Spotlight Education Program.
I knew it. I knew it was Spotlight. That's awesome.
Yes. So for those who don't know, our Spotlight Education Program is our flagship musical theater education program. It works with over 8,000 students across the state of Minnesota in about 100 high schools all over the state. So Christine went through that program with Hennepin Theater Trust, and now she's on the Broadway stage. So we are so proud of her and so excited to welcome her back to Minneapolis to perform in her hometown. And like I said, it's a nice, cozy, you know, holiday night at the theater. You know, it's about the triumph of the human spirit. So yes, it's an emotional one. You know, it's about sacrifice, redemption. But at the end of the show, hopefully you'll leave with, you know, feeling some hope and feeling hopefulness and, you know, seeing hope in the next generation of theater students coming out of Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. We have remarkable children that are involved in theater, and they're doing great things.
Gosh.
They're putting together great pieces, and I've talked about that many times, and I just pray that it never goes away. I hope we just keep having children that want it, that desire it, because it's important. It's one of those things that we're used to having, and sometimes we forget how special it is until we arrive at the theater, and then we realize, oh my gosh. We said it at the same time. So there you go. Congratulations on these two choices. I think Hairspray at $130 million, $130 million viewers, I did not know that at all. That's incredible. Just
I know. That was Les Mis. Les Mis, 130 million people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. And then and Hairspray was 20th anniversary?
Hairspray, yep. It's their 20th anniversary on Broadway this season.
This is Geraldine. I get it mixed up. There you go.
That's okay. But yeah, two great shows. And I agree. Our theater students are so talented. They have so much passion. They're so full of life, full of hope. It's just a treat to see them on stage and to see them have so much fun in this art form.
Well, the tickets are on sale. Of course, Hairspray is, I believe, January 10th through the 15th. Do I have that correct?
That's correct. Yep. It's 1 week only, our first show of the new year.
Why?
I don't know. I wish we could have it longer. I wish we could have Hairspray all year. It's such a feel-good show. I'd watch it every single week if I could. But only 1 week for this one, January 10th to the 15th. And like you said, tickets are on sale, HennepinTheaterTrust.org.
There you go. There it is right there. And, of course, give us one more reminder about Les Mis. It opens on the 8th, did you say?
So Les Mis is December 6th. Through the 18th. It's a two-week run that we'll have that show.
Okay, yeah. That's what I needed. Thank you so much. I get that mixed up too. So here's the thing. if people want more information and they want to know if this is something for children, would you say Les Mis is for children? Or Hairspray?
You know, it really depends. You know, parents and guardians know their kids the best. Les Mis does deal with some heavier themes, I would say, but it's a beautiful show. And there are some laughs in that show. There's some fun. So I really think, you know, it's all ages, but Hairspray for sure. That one is just bright, bubbly. It's fun. You know, the dancing is incredible. The music is so upbeat. So I would say Hairspray is probably the one that you'll want to send younger kids to. But I do think that Les Mis, you know, is a real family show, too.
Well, look, we'll just keep watching. We'll keep waiting and get those tickets and get in to see it. If people want more information, give that website one more time. HennepinTheaterTrust.org.
Yep. HennepinTheaterTrust.org, and we spell theater with an R-E. So it's Hennepin Theater with an R-E, trust.org.
Emma, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us, and you take care of you.
Thank you so much. You too.
Bye. Oh, man. She was great. Just great. All right, everyone. Coming up next is the Mom and Michael Hour. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. We're going to have a blast. Michael, me, and then this guy named Jonathan. We'll be back.